The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Beth Moore explains how you can be encased in grace.
We think our key to good behavior is to follow a lot of laws and a lot of rules. That the more I say no, 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 no to myself, then the freer I'm going to be. But we stay in a mentality under the law, and we continually are defeated by it because we cannot master the law.
Join us for Wednesdays in the Word next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty just glanced down here and she said, I like that. Look at this. This is a beautiful, touchy-feely book. It says, Children at the Well, The Joy of Clean Water. This is for little children. I'd say even starting as young as two or three, say up through about maybe 8 years old, maybe nine. And it's one of those picture books that they can touch and feel. And it's just great for kids. Here they can touch the cow and feel the fur. But they're learning about the importance not only of clean water, but of loving people and giving people life. We want you to have this book, along with Women at the Well, which is the stories of so many of the women who have been here on Life Today. We'll tell you a little later how you can get it. One of the women that's a part of the book, Women at the Well, is Beth Moore. And Beth is teaching on Encased in Grace, what that looks like. I know you love it. Because I know you love her, and you love the truth from the Word of God that flows so freely from Beth. Would you welcome Beth Moore? Here's Beth.
Now, where were we? Romans chapter 5. I want to read verses 1 and 2 to you. Now, listen. If these happen to be familiar words, I pray that you will not let them fall on you with such a familiarity that they lose their edge. If you're brand new to the Scriptures, I want you to hear this kind of good news. It says this in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I've got to read that to you again out of verse 2. Through Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You and I are going to talk all through this series, a two-part series that will take us a number of weeks to go through together. We are going to take apart what it means to stand in grace. How deep are you in the doctrine of grace? Because grace is what puts the good in the news. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And grace has a name, and the name of grace is Jesus. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Redeemer. I have a really, really good friend that's super funny, and she was telling me the other day that when she went in here recently, if you'll just, you gentlemen will forgive me for using this kind of a personal term about surgery, but it is a natural thing. She went into surgery, saw her surgeon before they put her under, and she was having to have a hysterectomy, and she said, I just wonder if while we're there, I've got some wisdom teeth that need out. And he really did not feel that was going to be doable, but told her he could refer her to others that might. But it was so funny to me to think that we think that in that one fell swoop, we can have our solution. But you know something? You do have that with grace. You do have it, the panacea. You do, and I do, have the solution to every ill, the strength in every weakness. This is what we have by Jesus Christ, access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, we throw that word around in the Christian community, the word grace around, like we would say, bless you when someone sneezes. Grace, 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 grace. But do we begin to grasp what it means? I want to give you just one definition of it out of the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament. It's going to be fairly lengthy, so if you're taking down any kind of notes, just put down some key words. I'll try to emphasize what I think we're really driving at in this particular session. Grace, it's charis in the Greek, and it means particularly that which causes joy. I want everybody to say that which causes joy. Pleasure, gratification, favor, acceptance, for a kindness granted or desired, a benefit, thanks, gratitude. The absolutely free expression of the loving kindness of God to men, finding, listen to this carefully, its only motive in the bounty and benevolence of the giver, unearned and unmerited favor. I love this part of it. It changes the individual to a new creature without destroying his individuality. Do you love that? This grace has this way of coming and totally transforming us, but yet we retain our individuality. Grace is not just meant to be a condition. Grace is a condition that is meant to elicit a reaction, an emotion. If we got grace, one way we would know if we're getting the doctrine or not is how happy are we about believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. Because we get the doctrine of grace to the degree that we are filled with joy in Christ. If we have very little joy, we have very little grasp of this grace that we have received. Because this grace thing is supposed to cause an outbreak of joy. That's part of the characteristic of this thing we're calling grace. What the Word of God tells us is this life-changing access that we have because of Jesus Christ. I don't just want us to study this particular doctrine. I am praying that something happens to us in these weeks of study together, that we have an outbreak of it in our lives, a revival. If you've never come to know Jesus this way, an awakening that takes place in our bones, that's what I'm talking about. It's not just something we can study on a page. It is something actualized between us and Jesus that becomes our living reality. That is what I'm hoping we're going to see. Now, it's a huge driving concept in our Christian faith. You would find it, for instance, in the NIV, the word grace showing up 131 times. Add to it words like gracious and graciously another 46 times. If you ran a word search on the word grace, you would almost decide that it's a New Testament term and that the Old Testament was nothing but law, but that is not true. The law was given in the Old Testament, but grace is called by a different name. It's used several times by that name in the Old Testament. But more often than not, the word favor is used instead, which in the Old Testament, in the NIV, shows up 105 times, ESV 113 times. So this is a grace streak starting from beginning to end of Scripture, seeing the favor that God has on people, flawed, broken people just like us. I want you to see with me some verses. This is where our concept is going to come together and land, and we're going to start building on it. Out of Romans chapter 6, I want to read verses 1 through 6 to you. Romans 6, 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self, this is very important, this is going to drive part of our series, we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would, these two words will be very important, no longer be enslaved to sin. so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Throughout this series, we're going to build a series of 5 points together, and it all begins right here with number one. Some things in our lives need to hear the words, no longer. Amen? Somebody need to get a message of no longer somewhere into their lives going, you know what, you have no more authority over me. I am giving you something that you do not have the power to exercise over me. By Christ, I am free from being enslaved to sin. And some things in our lives could really, really take a very loud no longer. Somebody say no longer out loud.
No longer.
And I say it in such a way that's got conviction. I want you to say it on the other side of that screen. Say it where it's got conviction. No longer.
No longer.
Say it like this. I'm about to say no longer to you. Because we're going to get some attitude here, because is there a side of you that just will not take no for an answer? I'm just asking you that. Because it's imposing an authority over you, a dominion over you, that it does not have the right to exercise, and we're about to get mad about it. Amen? We're about to get indignant about it. We've got some bitterness that needs to hear a shout of no longer. We got some fear. Does anybody's fear? I mean, is it enough? Who listening has lived with fear 60, 70 years? Who's lived with insecurity for 25 years? Some things in our lives, sexual addictions, self-destructive behavior, substance addictions, all our jealousies, all our ineffectiveness, our spiritual and relational paralysis. We got some things in our lives that need to hear the words no longer, because we were told in Scripture they no longer get to have dominion over us. And either something is wrong on the page or something is wrong in my thinking when I, as a believer in Christ, have the Holy Spirit living in me and I am completely overrun by dominion sins. Something is up. Something is up. Now, I wonder for anybody else, I have so been there in the course of my life, has it just gone on too long? Anybody? Just gone on too long. In fact, it can go on so long that we decide I'm just going to give way to it. Like, I've just given up because this is the way it's going to be and I'm just going to give in to it because it's just gone on way too long. Somebody say out loud, this has gone on way too long.
Gone on way,
way too long. We're sick of it. But we do not know how to get victory over it. Anybody tried everything you can think of, and it still hasn't worked? I'm going to beg you to see in the Scriptures that the key, the power, is the grace of God. We've got to get a mentality that we live in the freedom and the unmerited favor of the grace of God. The very thing our mothers would never have wanted us to know, because they would have thought it would give us license to sin, is exactly what we need to know so that we can take authority over that sin. Is anybody just stepping in that with me? Because, listen, we need an outbreak of freeing grace. It's already been given to us. It's got to take up residency in our thinking. Now, I want to read Romans 6, 6 through 14 to you. We went all the way to 6, but I want to let it overlap just that one verse and then read through to verse 14. Listen to this. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer, by saying
no longer,
be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Somebody wants to say amen to that.
Amen.
For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Verse 14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. I'm going to say that again, verse 14, the heart of everything we're studying together. For sin will not have dominion over you, since you are not under law. You are under grace. I want everybody to look at those words. You are not under law, but you are under grace. Until that gets down into our thick skulls, down into our everyday thinking, not just our Sunday thinking, not just our morning thinking, where it becomes how we habitually think, that it is grace that is key to me being free from the slavery to sin. Until that takes up residency, we are going to be caught in dominion sin for the rest of our lives. Needlessly, we are in Christ. It can exercise no authority over us. We are giving authority to something that has no right to exercise it, and we're about to take it back. We've looked at number one, some things in our lives need to hear the words no longer. Number two is this: a life no longer enslaved cannot be lived under the law. I hope to prove to you it's a biblical impossibility. A life no longer enslaved cannot be lived under the law. See, because there are so many of us that think the way I'm going to get my behavior under control is I just have to live by the law. Now, I hope somebody's so new with us to this whole terminology that you're needing me to say to you that we're not talking about the laws of our government. This is not talking about getting to go any speed we want to on the freeway, although you could not swear that by Houston. But this is about the law of Moses, or even the legalism we put upon ourselves, that we think our key to good behavior is to follow a lot of laws and a lot of rules. That the more I say no, 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 no to myself, then the freer I'm going to be. But the Bible presents that in the book of Romans and in many other places, that it will be exactly the thing that gets us ensnared to dominion sin, is that we stay in a mentality under the law and we continually are defeated by it because we cannot master the law.
Wow, this is powerful. You know, it's possible to misrepresent grace. I think sometimes, however, the misrepresentation of grace is by an overemphasis improperly on the law. And Beth is helping us understand that. Father, thank you for your grace, your love, your patience. And I pray the hearers get it. Thank you for Beth in Jesus' name. It is such a joy to share with you, and this is what we see with Beth. It's fresh water. It's bread, spiritual nourishment. And believe this, because it's simply the truth. You are the focal point of the ministry as far as we're concerned, because God has called us to share with you the best God has for you, for your benefit and His glory. So we're doing everything we can to help you. But here's what we've discovered. When we look out and we see a need that God can meet through us, where we can actually be His hands, let people see how He is, what God's like. Our viewers love it. They love being literally the bodily expression of Christ, of the Father's heart. Watch closely, because you're going to leap at the opportunity to reveal God, to reveal Jesus in the situations you're about to witness. Watch.
Mothers find pleasure in teaching their children life skills, preparing them for the day when they will have children of their own and dreaming of a bright future for them. But for literally millions of mothers throughout the world, mothers like Maria, this pleasure gives way to the pain of knowing they have no other choice but to give their children water from contaminated sources.
Even as we speak right now, Levi is sick. He has diarrhea, he has vomiting, and his mom's telling us that he can't even eat. And it's because of water like this that these children are drinking that are contaminating their bodies and causing disease and sickness.
Maria always hopes the best for little Levi. She wants to see him grow up happy and healthy. But her dreams will be crushed as long as she has no other choice but to give him contaminated water that constantly makes him sick.
I said, Maria, is there ever a time when you've prayed and asked God for a miracle, for fresh water? And she said that every year is another year where they continue to pray that they would be able to have good drinking water. We need to provide good, clean water for this family and many families in this village. We need to make a difference today.
That is a very moving story to me for more than one reason. John Hernandez there. We've been working with him in Mission Outreach for more than 20 years. We started more than 20 years ago with him in Miami with street children. Incredible. And then we watched him end up in the mission fields of the world and how reaching out in Bolivia and other areas to children. Some of the things that have happened with John and with the outreach to children has made as great an impact on our grandchildren as anything we've ever done. And some of them have been around the world, so to speak, to see what's there. And that really blesses us. But everything that's happened with John and him coming to us, why do you think he's talking to us? Well, 20 years we've been helping him be the answer to people's prayers and needs. And it wasn't just me and Betty. We just identify with legitimate hurt, and we know the answer. It's the love of God through his people who will literally extend his hands. So what John was talking about there is so important because that mother represents thousands of mothers. Now think about this. In 20 countries right now, with your help, we're going to drill 500 freshwater wells. We're about halfway there already, but we need to complete it because we don't want to miss the mark. We pray every year, God, let us go beyond. Last year, we went beyond a little, beyond the 500. We can do that, but here's how we do it. If every person watching, I want you just to kind of zero in. Let me just talk to you, just me and you here for a second. Honey, can you mind me just?
Go ahead.
She's over here saying, go on. Listen to me. If you would just say, I will do my part expressing God's heart. $4,800 is the cost of a well. Many people tell us they have no greater joy in an entire year than to be able to give a well. We've had people that said, I prayed for years to be able to do that, and I finally could give a well. And then they would often write back two or three years later, so now I've been able to give one now every year. So I'm asking if you can give a well, as a couple, as an individual, as a church. Thank God children have even gone to their friends and neighbors and family and said, let's drill a well. As young as 4 years old, and they got a well. So everybody can have a part. But here's the way we normally reach it. If you give a part of a well, let's just say of the 4,800, you give 1,200 and pray, God, raise up three more. We got a well. 2,400, God, match this. And another joins you. We've got a well. But most of the support comes from people who give $48. And when you break it down, that gives 10 people water for life. Give 30 people water for life with a $144 gift. There is a level at which you can say, I'm going to give more than a cup of water. I'm going to help give a well of water. And Jesus said, you just give a cup, you won't lose your reward. And I have an idea. Most of the reward is what that love does for others, not what comes back to you. Just that joy is enough. Would you dial the number, take your bank card, and use it like a check? Go online, lifetoday.org. Many people are going there to do that. And if you ever call and get a busy, be determined, because there are people calling for prayer too. The majority of the calls will still be people, pray for me. You better believe we will. But would you be determined to get through to give water, please? We have some very special gifts for you. One of the little books that I'm really excited about, not only the women at the well, wonderful women's stories, including our two daughters, one who is in heaven. Hear about her wonderful job she had while on this earth. And then this, Children at the Well. This is a touchy-feely book for children that talks about the joy of giving. It is just absolutely beautiful. And the beautiful glass sculpture to say thank you, and the journal, the life journal. This has been transforming in your life, Betty, to journal with God. Nice. And your journal ministers to me continually. So you start one. We want to say thank you. We want to bless you. Please, please, take that bank card and use it like a check. Again, if you write a check, make it to life, because that's what you're giving. Thank you so much for doing it. From the bottom of our hearts, We say thank you in behalf of the people whose prayers you're going to be an answer to.
Every day, children of all ages are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most effective, life-saving demonstrations of God's love you could ever be a part of. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, you can help establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages, impacting over 20 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request the new Children at the Well interactive book to help your little ones understand the blessing of clean water, as well as the Women at the Well daily devotional with 32 refreshing devotionals for your quiet time. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this beautiful leather journal to help capture your personal times with God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You're going to want to get these books for the children that you love while you're giving children fresh water, Children at the Well, Women at the Well, and the journal. What a treasure. My wife, even this morning, ministered to me out of what she had written in her journal. I find myself marveling at it. It was a transformation for you to do this, wasn't it? It was a transforming experience.
It really was. It was also just a way of just keeping my heart in touch with God's Word, because I would write out the scriptures, and I feel like it just gets into my heart better when I do that.
No question about it. And so we want to give you a life journal and pray that you go on that journey. And we thank you for sharing water. Thank all of you for being with us. Tell everybody about Life Today. Tell them about Beth and the other teachers on Wednesdays. Thank you so much for watching.
And he had to have emergency surgery within the first 10 days or he would die.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Fox News anchor Brett Baer. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.